Good morning, everyone. This is Dave McManus, Berean Baptist Church, coming to you with the news and focus this morning. Haven't done one of these solo in a while, but, you know, every now and then you're reading through the news headlines and something jumps out at you. And so I'm reading the other morning, a couple days ago, and the headline is, "The Bible says Canaanites were killed, but new DNA evidence suggests otherwise." And then I actually saw another article that was linking this article, and it said, "Science wins again," or "Science defeats the Bible again. Science is undefeated." And so, well, let me take a minute to look at this article. And you'll see the serious scholarship that goes into, and it's not even an article, it's a blog, but you'll see the scholarship that goes into this. And it's an atheist blog site, too, by the way, so clearly it's an unbiased approach. So the Bible says Canaanites were killed, but new DNA evidence suggests otherwise. This was July 29th. It's not surprising that science has, once again, shown something in the Bible to be wrong. But I can't recall ever seeing a story like this before. Monumental stuff here, guys. There's a section in Deuteronomy in which God calls for the complete destruction of the Canaanites, people who lived in a part of the Middle East, by the Israelites. Okay, I will read that account that they have linked here. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 16 through 18, reading from the ESV. "But in the cities of these people that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, you shall save alive nothing that breathes, but you shall devote them to complete destruction, the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord God has commanded, that they may not teach you to do according to all their abominable practices that they have done for their gods, and so you sin against the Lord your God." Okay, so this is the ban, right? This is the command of the Lord that says when you go into the land, you are to set apart the land for destruction. He said earlier that the Canaanites were storing up wrath, right? That their sin was not yet full, and it wasn't time yet. That's why Abraham didn't go in, and that's why Moses didn't go in at that time. He comes in at this time, and actually Joshua will then lead the conquest, and they are supposed to destroy everything that they come into contact with. All right, so the article goes on to say, "The assumption has long been that those people were indeed annihilated, though skeptics have noted that there's no non-biblical account of any kind of Canaanite genocide." And they link an article to a Bart Ehrman blog that he writes, how there is absolutely no historical evidence for Joshua's conquest. Having stood in the land just a couple of months ago at Jericho, at Ai, at Hazor, I beg to differ that there is plenty of archaeological and historical evidence that Joshua's conquest happened exactly the way the Bible puts it, but that's a whole other story. So the article says, "Now a new genetic analysis published in the American Journal of Human Genetics shows that Canaanites didn't just live, they thrived. We can see," and this is quoting from the article, "we can see the present-day Lebanese can trace most of their ancestry to the Canaanites or a genetically equivalent population," said Chris Tyler Smith, a geneticist with the Wellcome Trust Sanger Institute, who is an author of the paper. "They derive just over 90% of their ancestry from the Canaanites." Okay, so pay attention to what's being said there. The present-day Lebanese, present-day Lebanon. So if you have a map and you want to take a look, that may help you. You'll see where we're going here. "The conclusion is clear," said Iosef Lazaridis, a geneticist at Harvard who was not involved in the study. "Based on this study, it turns out that people who lived in Lebanon almost 4,000 years ago were quite similar to people who lived there today, to the modern Lebanese. The only way that similarity would exist, the thinking goes, would be if those ancient Canaanites lived on in that region and were able to pass their genes to the next generation. So much for the biblical account." Well, I guess we better as well pack it up and go home, guys. "So much for the biblical account. Though one response to the study has been to say the Israelites disobeyed God's wishes, the Bible says so. To put that another way, the genetic analysis suggests that the biblical God wasn't as big of a jerk as we thought because he didn't really call for genocide, while Christians are saying totally called for genocide, but people knew better than to listen to him. It's very strange. Now, how about that for a twisting of responses? Even if there may be a rational explanation, may be rational explanations for how the Canaanites survived, though, it's important to recognize that the Bible shouldn't be treated as a history book where we just take its quote-unquote facts for granted. This kind of DNA analysis, barring bad methodology, there you go, gets us much closer to understanding what was happening a long time ago than reading the Bible ever will. How about that for a pompous, windbag, empty kind of thing? Couple things with the article. Clearly, the original article has nothing to do with the Bible. It doesn't take any shots at the Bible. The research is that 90% of modern Lebanese share DNA with Canaanites. Now, how did they figure that out? Well, they found a burial plot up there in Tyre and Sidon, somewhere up in that area, and they dug it up, and they did the DNA testing, and they go, oh, wow, look, it matches. Okay, so that's where it comes from. So 90% match the Canaanite DNA. All right. Then he goes to Joshua and says, look, actually Moses in Deuteronomy said, through God, destroy everything, institute the ban, make sure everything is destroyed when you come in the land. Well, look, they weren't destroyed. Okay. Well, you don't have to go very far to figure this out. All right. Let's look at Judges chapter 1. Starting in verse 27. And by the way, when it comes to the liberal scholarship, most liberal scholars tend to like the book of Judges more than they like many of the other books, because they think this is one that they think it portrays that tribal kind of setup that they kind of run to, that they not in the sense of the 12 tribes, but in the sense that Israel wasn't a united nation, that it was just a group of upstarts in the land that may have risen up and taken control and won out in a series of battles. And so a lot of liberals even like Judges. But that's again a whole other conversation. Judges chapter 1, starting in verse 27. Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Bashan and its villages, or Tanakh and its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, or the inhabitants of Ibleam and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages, for the Canaanites persisted in dwelling in that land. When Israel grew strong, they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not drive them out completely. All right, so there's Manasseh in several different places. 29. And Ephraim did not drive out the Canaanites who lived in Gezer. So the Canaanites lived in Gezer among them. Verse 30. Zebulun did not drive out the inhabitants of Katron or the inhabitants of Nahalol. So the Canaanites lived among them, but became subject to forced labor. And here's where the one comes into play that we're looking at. Verse 31. Asher did not drive out the inhabitants of Akko or the inhabitants of Sidon, where they found the burial mound, or of Olib, or of Achzib, or of Helba, or of Aphek, or of Rehob. So the Asherites lived among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. 33, Naphtali did not drive out the inhabitants of Beit Shemesh, or the inhabitants of Beit Anath. So they lived among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beit Shemesh and of Beit Anath became subject to forced labor for them. And then verse 34, the Amorites pressed the people of Dan back into the hill country, for they did not allow them to come down to the plain. In fact, that Dan will later just go up north and settle up way up north in what becomes known as Tel Dan, but the town of Laish. The Amorites persisted in dwelling in Mount Heres and Ajalon and Shaalbim, but the hand of Joseph rested heavily on them, and they became subject to forced labor. And the border of the Amorites ran from the ascent of Akrabim from Selah and upward. So, yeah, I just read Judges chapter 1, verses 27 to 36, and we see that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the tribes failed miserably at clearing the land of the Canaanites, and the Canaanites stayed and lived in the land with them. Now, in some cases, the Israelites were the dominant population, made them forced labor, but they did not eliminate them. And we see this throughout Scripture. And the most important one, again, is back to verse 31, talking about the tribe of Asher, because it's Asher would have inhabited, and there's some question about how far up Asher's land allotment went. Did it include Tyre and Sidon? Did it extend all the way up there? If you look at different maps, it'll stop right there at Tyre. Sometimes it'll stop above Sidon. We don't really know exactly where the original allotment was, but the point is that Asher did not drive the Canaanites out of that land. So it makes perfect sense that the Canaanites would have remained in that land and that their DNA is still present in that land. Second of all, if you look at a map of the United Monarchy under David and Solomon, this part of the land, Tyre and Sidon, is Phoenicia. It's not part of the United Monarchy of Israel. And so it became so, inhabited with the Canaanites that it became its own nation. I mean, the Phoenicians established a great civilization there, and they're always a thorn in the side of Israel, and so it's not even Israel proper for most of the existence of Israel, especially even during the United Monarchy, which is the pinnacle of the land as far as Israel goes. And so even if it was part of Asher's territory at the beginning of the allotment, it is not held very long, and it is entirely occupied by Canaanites, Sidonians. That's the ones that were mentioned right there. Right? So when these articles come out and they come out with these flashy headlines that the Bible loses again and the Bible says this, but it's been disproven by science, nothing could be further from the truth. It's just a misleading article. It's ridiculous. There's no connection here. Again, the original study doesn't even try to do that. The original study just makes a statement, and some atheist blogger just grabs this and runs with it. And I've seen this headline probably four or five times over the weekend just on Facebook and Twitter and different places. And you see how it just catches fire, and the internet loves anything that's anti-God, and they love this revisionist history. They even though the history does point right to a biblical account, you'll never hear people say that. You'll never hear archaeologists say that, because they have too much invested in the other narrative to give credence to what the Bible says. I saw this morning, just kind of a side note while we're here. The Palestinian Authority has released, there's been a bunch of stuff over there at the Temple Mount these last few weeks, but the Palestinian Authority releases a headline that says, settlers are desecrating Western Wall of Al-Aqsa. Okay, and so here's what it says. Let me just read it to you so you can get an idea of revisionist history. And anything that's sympathetic to the Muslim mind is going to have a revisionist history towards both Israel and the Bible. It says, WAFA, the official news agency of the Palestinian Authority, denied the existence of the Holy Temple on the Temple Mount and attacked Jews who desecrate the sanctity of the Al-Aqsa Mosque by coming to the Western Wall Plaza on the 9th of Av. And during the 9th of Av, which started last night, continues until nightfall on Tuesday, Jews commemorate the destruction of both holy temples as well as a host of other tragedies in Jewish history that occurred on this day. So there's this day that the Jews set aside in Israel to celebrate the destruction, not celebrate, commemorate, lament the destruction of the temples that were on the Temple Mount. And look at the news from the Palestinian authorities is that they commemorate the temples that were never there. They deny the existence of the Holy Temple on the Temple Mount. I mean, think about that. That we have numerous attestations to the Temple Mount. We have historical evidence of the Temple Mount. They're uncovering more. Every time they dig over there, they find more stuff about the Temple Mount. They're digging below in the Ophel, below the city, below the Temple Mount, above the city of David. They're finding more and more royal stuff from Solomon and from different areas, things from Hezekiah's era. Quite clearly, it doesn't take much scholarship to understand that the Temple Mount is there. And yet, the Palestinian Authority it's fake. This is Al-Aqsa. This has always been a Muslim holy site, and the Jews are making up the idea that the temple was there. And we could talk all day about the historicity of the events, but that is what we're up against. That is what we're seeing in the mainstream media. So if it's Bible, it's wrong. If it's Israel, it's wrong. And if it's anything else, you can kind of run with it, and you don't need much scholarly research. You don't need much confirmation. If you can make a headline and you can get people to read your blog, then you've succeeded. So the Bible loses, according to this atheist blogger, it's ludicrous. It's ridiculous. It's laughable. You don't need a seminary degree to take these people apart. So, just wanted to encourage you and say, don't listen to all the stuff that's out there. We have history on our side. We have archaeology on our side. We are a rational faith. We are a logical faith. And all it takes is, like I said, you saw me. I went to one chapter in Judges, and we've totally blown this whole article out of the water. It doesn't take much, and the Bible will stand up to scrutiny. We don't necessarily need to fight all the battles for it, but be prepared to stand strong in that word that we can trust from cover to cover. Hopefully this was helpful. I had to get it off my chest. It was just too much for me to handle as I watched all this nonsense unfold in this ridiculous blog. So if you have any comments, you can post them right here, and have a nice day. Thanks for listening.